The place seemed inherently peaceful, idyllic, a tropical paradise, far removed from a world busily consuming itself with the flames of war. Hawaii was an attractive spot, offering a laid-back lifestyle of beach excursions, sports, and nightclubs. By the standards of mid-20th century America, it was an odd place, a nominally post-imperial territory, nonetheless controlled by a central government located on a distant continent, many thousands of miles to the east. The ethnic composition was like nowhere else under the domain of the American government. The original islanders, generally Polynesian in origin, coexisted alongside an Asian Pacific stew of Koreans, Chinese, Filipinos, and Japanese, the largest single ethnic group. Whites were the most dominant group, at least in terms of wealth and influence. Almost all of them had originated from the United States. But by 1941, many could trace deep roots in the islands, dating back to the previous century. By comparison, most all of the soldiers assigned to the Hawaiian Department were newcomers, temporary tourists within the span of the territory's history. The same was true for their comrades in the other services, most prominent of which was, of course, the Navy, whose Pacific Fleet had moved, by order of President Franklin Roosevelt, from San Diego to Pearl Harbor on the island of Oahu in 1940. The push for empire and world influence had brought Americans to Hawaiian shores over a half century earlier. However questionable this had been in a moral sense, it had resulted in the happy strategic byproduct of an American-controlled island chain closer geographically and ethnically to Tokyo than Washington. Since the fleet's relocation to Pearl Harbor, and as war with Japan grew from possibility to probability, the military presence in Hawaii grew. This was especially true on Oahu, the most heavily populated island, and as such, the critical mass of all American defenses. The Army had elements of two understrength infantry divisions, the 24th and the 25th on Oahu. They were based at Schofield Barracks, a scenic post located about 12 miles north of Pearl Harbor. The Coast Artillery Corps, a defensive bulwark of the old Army, manned a series of small forts near Pearl Harbor and along coastal areas of the island, highlighted by Fort Shafter, between Pearl to the west and Honolulu to the east. Army Air Corps fields also dotted the island, most notably Hickman Field at the eastern edge of Pearl Harbor and Wheeler Field adjacent to Schofield Barracks. By the middle of 1941, the 43,000 soldiers of the Army's Hawaiian Department, both ground and air forces, were under the command of Lieutenant General Walter Short. About 25,000 of those soldiers defended Oahu. The Army also maintained substantial medical facilities at Hickman Field, Schofield Station Hospital, and Tripler General Hospital on the western side of Honolulu. "Here in Hawaii, we all live in a citadel or gigantically fortified island," Short told a Honolulu paper in April 1941. The general's mission was to use his air and ground power to protect the fleet and to guard against an amphibious invasion. Personally, he believed that ethnic Japanese locals, almost three-quarters of whom were actually U.S. citizens, posed the greatest threat to his command, either through sabotage or outright uprising. Many of the soldiers were regular Army volunteers, professionals for whom the service offered a stable refuge from a troubled economy. Peacetime draftees, levied during the federal government's belated preparations for war in 1940 and 1941, fleshed out the ranks. It was an Army with one boot firmly anchored in the early 20th century, equipped with World War I-era uniforms and weapons, rigidly stratified, both insular and intimate, at the same time professional and rustic. Soldiers took basic training when they reached their assigned units, rather than before, as became customary during the war and ever since. Promotions came slowly. Sergeants ruled like lords. Officers were often distant figures, like a higher social group in an immutable caste system. Saturday morning inspections were like a military Sabbath. Custom was sacrosanct, regulations unquestioned. "There were professional privates," recalled Robert Greenwood, a Coast artilleryman at Hickman Field. "There were fellows that had been in the Army 15 or 20 years. I can remember there were guys from World War I. The Army was their home. He knew one man who had served in every rank from private to first sergeant, getting busted several times for binge drinking. He'd give you 27 days out of the month of outstanding soldiering, and then he'd go off on a 3-day lost weekend.